بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في شان حبيبه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، My respected elders and dear brothers, the obvious topic to discuss today is the death and the demise of the former president of South Africa, who is fondly referred to as Madiba, or the ex-president Nelson Mandela. As we all know, it is global, international news around the world. There are outpourings of grief from every part of the world that this man, who was regarded as an icon, who was regarded as a hero, a man who was regarded as a great leader and politician, at a very ripe old age of 95, he passed on last night. And so around the world, this is the main item on all the news bulletins, and this is something that has been discussed around the world at this point in time. In many countries of the world, they have shown their different ways of expressing their condolences and their mourning on the demise of Madiba or ex-president Nelson Mandela. So obviously there is something that we could discuss regarding his life, some aspects in which we find that there is, in a sense, a debt of gratitude that all the citizens of South Africa owe to him, that it was due to his foresight and his leadership qualities and his sacrifices that today people of South Africa enjoy the kind of freedoms that they are enjoying, and the kind of freedom to practice our existence in this country, our practicing our deen, our open society. This is something that you won't find in many countries of the world. This is something that unfortunately we don't even find in Muslim countries of the world. And it was his vision of a liberated, free country, that people have the freedom to practice their deen, people have the freedom to practice their religion, that this is one of the great benefits that we enjoy in this country, and we can attribute a great portion of that to his vision and to his ideals and goals and to the legacy that he has left behind. We find, my dear friends, that in 1994, when this country transformed from an apartheid state, from a state of oppression and tyranny, into a democratic nation, at that point in time, there were great fears. There were fears of a civil war. People can still remember the days when there were people who were stocking up on items in fear that there could possibly be a bloodbath in this country, and there's going to be dire consequences of the years of apartheid, and there will be revenge, and there will be bloodshed, and there will be carnage. And as it happened in so many other countries of the world, when the oppressed were liberated, then they took revenge. And the conditions deteriorated drastically. But we find that it was again his leadership and his attributes and his good qualities and his reconciliatory approach that actually averted a bloodbath in South Africa, and we had a very peaceful transition from an apartheid state into a democratic country. This was also because of his leadership and because of the reconciliatory attitude that he had adopted, that we found this peaceful transition. So, my dear friends, after all, we need to ask the question that what was it that endeared Madiba to the people of the world, not only the people of South Africa, and across the board, across religions, across races, across cultures, across nations, what was it that endeared him? What was it that people had such a great love, admiration and respect for him? What was it that made him the icon, that hero that people looked up to? What made him that kind of a leader? It was nothing other than the wonderful attributes and qualities that he had inculcated himself in himself. It is those qualities that endeared him. Because of those good qualities that he adopted, he became the icon or the role model for people around the world. One outstanding attribute of his was his willingness to sacrifice for his people, his willingness to sacrifice for the liberation and the freedom struggle. It would great hardship and difficulty. We know the earlier years of his life, what hardships and difficulties he went through. And it must be stated for the record that it was to a great extent the support of the Muslim community at that time when he was in hiding, going from place to place. It was mainly the Muslim community at that point in time who had given him refuge and who were behind him and supporting him. And many of them stood by him at the time of the liberation struggle. One icon of the liberation struggle who is still living, Ahmed Katrada, KT as he is known as, he was one of those people who was very, very close to Mandela. And there are many others, Imam Harun, Rahmatullah Ali, who was made Shaheed, and there were many others who lost their lives in the struggle. So it was with the support and the contribution and the assistance and the role that was played by a number of Muslims that these combined sacrifices resulted in the liberation of our country as we see it today. So it was his willingness to sacrifice. And we know that he sacrificed 27 years of his life in prison and in most difficult conditions. In Robben Island, they were the most difficult conditions that they lived in. I'm not sure how many of us had visited Robben Island, but I had the opportunity to visit Robben Island some time ago. And you go on a tour and you see those prisons and you see those cells, and you see the conditions in which the people were kept, and you see Mandela's cell, and you see how small and narrow it was, and you see how cold the floor was, and you see how sparse the living was. The mind goes back to the times of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Khulafa'i Rashideen. That simplicity of life, how Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam slept on the bare floor, and how little he had to eat, and what sacrifices. That kind of a little glimpse of that could be seen in the difficulties they went through in the prison life, and how they were made to work hard in the quarries, and he almost became blind working in that glaring sunlight in that limestone quarries that almost blinded him for life. His vision had become impaired and damaged. These were some of the big sacrifices they had given. It was after those sacrifices that were given that we find that the structure of apartheid finally crumbled and fell to the ground. People used to feel that it will be impossible for apartheid to fall down. They are very mighty and powerful. They are very strong. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that when the oppressed, they rise up and they make the sacrifices, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the liberation and the freedom from oppression. And in this is a message of hope for the Muslim Ummah around the world. Wherever the Muslims are oppressed and mazloom, they can take an inspiration out of this, that if you are steadfast and you are patient and you are resolute and you are strong, then Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will finally bring the day of liberation. in this day is a message of hope for our brothers and sisters and children in Palestine, that inshallah a day will come when they will also be liberated from the zulm and oppression that they are undergoing. People felt that the apartheid government was so powerful and mighty and invincible that it was not conquerable. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed that it collapsed and crumbled. Like that, the Zionist state of Israel is also going to collapse and fall. Very soon, that day is also going to come. The sacrifices are being given by our brothers, sisters and children in Palestine. Right now, the conditions in Gaza, they are absolutely atrocious conditions, indescribable conditions in Gaza. The power is cut, the lights, water is cut, there's no sewerage system. There is absolute, people are living in great difficulty and problems. They are going through great hardship. People get water once in 4 days. Some people get less than that, a small quantity of water. There isn't enough electricity to cook food. People are cooking food on open fires. These are some of the difficulties and hardships that they are undergoing. But there is a hope, there is a message of hope for the people of the oppressed people of the world, that oppression will never last forever, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring an end to oppression. We find that he took a reconciliatory attitude, as a result of which even those who were hard, those people who are stubborn, they melted and they decided that now we should change the direction of this country. So we, at the same time, remember, my dear friends, I spoke about Robben Island. Do not forget about the sacrifice of the great ulama and scholars of our ummah, the ulama of South Africa, those ulama who were brought from Indonesia, who were brought from the Malaysia, that part of the world, who were brought to the Cape. They came as political prisoners. They were incarcerated and they were imprisoned in Robben Island, and many of them spent number of years in Robben Island long before Madiba and Mandela was in Robben Island. Those ulama were on Robben Island. Those ulama, they went through great sacrifices. Sitting on Robben Island, they even wrote from their memories copies of the Holy Quran. These were the first handwritten copies of the Quran in South Africa. These were written by those ulama sitting in Robben Island. Some of them passed away on Robben Island. Their graves are to be found on Robben Island. When somebody goes to visit Robben Island, don't only just go to the museum, the apartheid museum, and see all the prison cells and so forth, and leave out and forget to go to visit the graves of those great ulama. Visit the graves of those ulama. Read for them. Make isalu sawab for them. Make dua maghfirat for them. For indeed, they were the very first political prisoners in this country. They were the first political prisoners on Robben Island, long before the others went there. We find, as I mentioned earlier on, that what was it that endeared him to the people? It was his attributes and qualities. The quality of humility, that was an outstanding trait. We find that despite being regarded as a global hero, despite being regarded as a global icon, he was a down-to-earth person. He was a people's man. He mixed freely with the people. He would walk up to people. He would talk to people in the street. He would meet ordinary people. There was a domestic cleaner or worker in the parliament building, an elderly woman. He walked away from all the MPs and all the ministers, and he walked up to this old woman and he went to go and greet her. It was the first time that somebody in parliament even spoke to her or somebody even addressed her. So these were those attributes and qualities. We find, my dear friends, the same qualities were in our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the fountainhead of these qualities. And all the people of the world have drawn an inspiration. I don't have any information in front of me, but something tells me that I'm sure he studied the seerah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm sure he must have taken some inspiration from the biography of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those attributes are found in perfection in our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If non-Muslims adopt those attributes and qualities, they become beloved to the people of the world. Imagine, my dear friends, if Muslims adopt those attributes and qualities, what won't it do to the people of the world? That is why they say that Islam conquered the nations of the world not by the sword, but by the character and the akhlaq. It was the character and conduct of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that won over the hearts of the people of the world. So we find that even in our pious elders, our akabirin, they had this quality of humility. What humility was demonstrated in their lives? We take the example of the Shaykhul Islam, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi, a great alim, a Shaykhul Hadith, a teacher of thousands of ulama and students, a Shaykh of thousands of murids. He was a great political leader in India. He also fought the liberation struggle with great sacrifices. He also spent a number of years in the prison in Malta, in the island of Malta. Him with his ustad, Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayhi. Our ulama also went to jail. They also went through great hardships and difficulties to liberate the Muslim lands from the oppression of the colonial powers. The British imperialists were defeated by the sacrifices of our ulama. We find that Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah Ali, despite being the great leader that he was, when it comes to humility, what an example he set for the people of the world. They are traveling by train. They come on these trains, the conditions were generally very dirty, and people use the public toilet in the train. They don't really bother to clean it and so forth. So Hazrat was sitting there, and there was one very dignified Hindu gentleman who was also sitting there. When this gentleman got up to use the toilet, he just walked out because it was very, very dirty and it was not usable. Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi, he perceived that this man wanted to use the toilet and it was dirty. Without saying a single word, he got up from his place and he went and he rolled up his sleeves and he took some pieces of paper and he took water and he washed the toilet clean with his own hands. And after that, he came back and he told that gentleman that you wanted to use the toilet, go and use it, it has been cleaned. The man got a shock of his life, he got up, he went to the toilet, he came back, he said, I cannot fathom what kind of akhlaq and character this is, that you just saw the expression of my face, and you, the great scholar and alim and personality you are, you went down on your knees and you cleaned the toilet, not for a fellow Muslim brother, but for a Hindu person, you went to go and clean the toilet. The man was highly moved and impressed by this humility and akhlaq of Hazrat Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi. This was the akhlaq that was displayed by the Muslims of true character, and this is what won the hearts of the people of the world. There are many Hindus who used to be ardent admirers and lovers of Hazrat Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi. They stayed with him in prison day and night, and they saw his character and akhlaq, and many declared that if we had to see an angel walking on the surface of the earth, then it was this man here, Hussein Ahmad Madani. He was like an angel of Allah walking on the earth because of his attributes, his qualities, his akhlaq, his character. This is what won the hearts of the people. And that is what Madiba imbibed in himself. He took these beautiful attributes and qualities. He displayed these qualities of humility, as a result of which he became the hero in the eyes of millions of people. Also, one attribute of his that was outstanding was his passionate desire for justice to be meted out to the people of the world. He desired very much that there must be justice for everyone in the world. And his famous quotation, which will be remembered for posterity, he said that we, the people of South Africa, will not be liberated until the people of Palestine have not been liberated. The people of South Africa will not be regarded as liberated until the people of Palestine have not been liberated. This was his passion and desire for the freedom and the liberation of all oppressed nations of the world. He was very, very passionate about the Palestinian cause. And he was an advocate for the liberation of the people of Palestine. And he was a person who opposed the imperialists. He opposed the oppressors of the world. We know his famous position. He was fearless when it came to opposing the oppressors. We know his famous position at the time of the Iraq war. We know what happened, that he openly opposed Bush and Blair, and he made it known to them that he will not support their stance in bombing and attacking Iraq. To such an extent, he was a person who loved justice so much, and he hated oppressors to the extent that when Bush came here, he even refused to meet him, and he didn't even want to have anything to do with him. This was his hatred for oppression and his love for justice. We find, my dear friends, that amongst his outstanding attributes and qualities was his display of forgiveness. He forgave those people who were his tormentors. The prison guard, that person who tormented him in the prison cells, and all those jailers, he had open heart towards them. He forgave them. He was forgiving. He was tolerant. When he was liberated and became the president of the country, now he is right on the top there. These people are now underlings. He could have extracted some form of revenge from them or whatever it was, but he took an open-hearted attitude and he forgave them. And even those people became melted by his good character and akhlaq and his conduct. And we find that those very same people, they became his ardent admirers and they became his ardent followers. Now, these are those same attributes. These are the attributes of Islam. These are the attributes of Iman. These are the attributes of Mu'min and Muslim. These are the attributes that we should be adopting. It is very, very, very unfortunate and sad, my dear friends, that today, let alone forgiving somebody else, forgiving an oppressor, forgiving somebody who tormented us, we can't even forgive our own brothers and sisters, blood brothers and sisters. What character are we displaying to the world? What example are we setting to the world? And then we expect people to have a good opinion about Islam. Then we expect people to be flocking to Dinul Islam. It has been truly stated by somebody that today the biggest obstacle for people coming into the fold of Islam is the character and conduct of the Muslims. If we put our akhlaq and character right, my dear friends, the people of South Africa, the people of Africa, the people of South America, the people of Asia, the people of America, the people of Australia, the people of the world will flock into Dinul Islam if the akhlaq and the character of the Muslim comes right. But today we have become the biggest obstacle. We have become the most negative publicity and advert for Dinul Islam by way of our akhlaq and character. People say, what is the benefit of becoming a Muslim? Becoming like these people? These people who have these attributes and ways in them? So therefore, my dear friends, we should take lesson from all these things. Let these things not just go by us like another day, but it is time to do some introspection. It is time to do some reflection, and it is time to put some things right in our lives, inshallah ta'ala. We find, my dear friends, amongst his attributes was the fact that he was in fact, this is very interesting, this particular point. He was declared a terrorist. He was declared a terrorist. And long after 1994, when he became the first democratically elected president of South Africa, long after 1994, only in the year 2008 was his name taken off the terrorist list of the United States of America. Until then, long after he became president, long after he completed his first term of presidency, long after that was his name even removed from the list. Today there will be people who will be crying crocodile tears and praising and singing his praises. But those were the very same people who called him a terrorist. And those were the people who were instrumental in all what he went through. So remember, my dear friends, that this is how the world works. That today's terrorist will be tomorrow's freedom fighter. Those people who are called the terrorists of the world today, tomorrow they will be cherished and they will be respected as the freedom fighters of the world. So yes, whilst the Muslims are being branded and labeled as terrorists of the world, we should not become despondent. We see what happened to Madiba. He was also called a terrorist, but the time came when everybody in the world is now regarding him as a hero. So we find, my dear friends, there were many, many wonderful sayings that were attributed to him also. And if you read his biography, The Long Walk to Freedom, we will find in there the various phases of his life, what he went through. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani, one of our leading ulama and scholars, he said that when he picked up this book, The Long Walk to Freedom, he said that he couldn't put the book down. In one night or maybe two nights, he read the book from cover to cover. So we find that in this book, The Long Walk to Freedom, there are a number of his quotations. And some of those quotations are very, very informative, very inspirational. For example, he mentioned that a nation cannot be judged by how it treats its highest, but it must be judged by how it treats its lowest. How we treat the low people in society, how we treat the beggars, how we treat the people who are downtrodden, that will be the barometer to gauge the morality of that society. If the society only treats the high and mighty with dignity and respect, but they disregard the low and the weak and the meek, then that is an indication that that nation has lost its moral compass. He also mentioned that what counts in our lives is what difference we made to the lives of others. This is a wonderful saying. And again we find, what did Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of people are those who are the best in treatment of others. Those who are the most useful and beneficial to people. Those are the best of people. So here we find that, what does he say? That it doesn't count. What you achieved for yourself in your life is not important. But what difference you made to the lives of others. How you touched others' lives. How you helped others. That is what makes the difference. He also mentioned that to be free is not to cast off chains, but to live your life in such a way that you respect the freedom of others, you respect the rights of others. Again, we find that all of this has already been said 1400 years ago in the Quran and the Sunnah. The Quran and Hadith has already said all these things. For us, this is just a repetition of some things which we have already heard so many times. But unfortunately, again, we have to say that these are just words for us. The reality of it has not come into our lives. And because the reality has not come into our lives, this is the reason why we are not able to touch the hearts of people. Why our akhlaq is not able to attract people to Deenul Islam. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayhi, summa rahmatullah alayhi. What a great alim he was. And what akhlaq and character he had. My dear friends, he mentioned that they were the maids that used to come and work at the Madrasa Salihat here in Tandale Crescent. And Hazrat says that 11 maids came, one after the other. Every one of them accepted Islam within a few weeks of coming to work at the Madrasa. What was it that attracted them if it was not the akhlaq and the character and the teachings that Hazrat conveyed? That was the magnet, that was the thing that attracted them to Deenul Islam. He also mentioned that no one is born hating another person because of color, background or religion. But people learn to hate because of the environment. People learn, you hate somebody now, you are not born as a hating person. You were born in a natural state. Everybody is born, kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitra. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, we're born in a natural state. But then it is our environment that makes us biased towards people, prejudiced towards people, hating people and so forth. And he mentioned that if they can learn to hate, then the very same people can also learn to love. And love comes more easily and naturally to the human being than hate. So again we find a very important advice, a very important words of guidance, that we as the people of this country, we should divest our hearts from prejudices, biases and hatred towards people if they are of a different color, or even if they are a different religion, or they have different language, or they have different cultural background. We should look at people as human beings. All of them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-khalqu kulluhum ayalullah. All of the creation of Allah Ta'ala is like the family of Allah. And the one who is kind in his treatment towards the family of Allah, he is the one who is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Deenul Islam did not stop us at any point in time of showing good akhlaq, even to those who are not of the same faith, those who are not believers. We have been taught that we must be kind and good towards one and all. I conclude with one incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was known for his generosity and his hospitality. Such was his hospitality that he would never sit down to eat until there was not a guest on his tablecloth, on his dastarkhan. One day the food was prepared, but there was nobody around. He went outside looking for somebody, and he found one elderly gentleman, one old man. He called this old man and he told him, come sit down and join me for meals. So the old man came and sat down. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam said, read Bismillah and take Allah's name and eat. He says, no, I don't believe in Allah. I believe in some other God. Ibrahim alayhi salam became angry with him. And he told him, well, if you don't believe in Allah, then don't eat my food. Please get up and go away. So the old man got up and he walked away. Immediately, instantly, wahi came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, oh Ibrahim, how could you have chased this man away? 70 years of his life, he did not believe in me, but I didn't deprive him of food and drink. I provided him 3 meals a day, and one time he sat on your table and he didn't take my name and you chased him away. You should not do so. Go and call him back. Ibrahim alayhi salam gets up and runs behind this man and chases him, and he goes and catches him and begs him and pleads with him and says, come and sit down please and eat the meal. The man says, I can't understand your change of attitude. He says, well, my attitude changed because my Allah sent wahi and revelation to me, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me. The man said, if this is the mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then bear witness and bear testimony to the fact that I accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he recited the shahada of that time, that La ilaha illallah Ibrahim Rasulullah Ibrahim Khalilullah. He brought iman on that basis. So it goes to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeds one and all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got love and compassion for his makhluk and creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to show and display that. My dear friends, I conclude on this one thought. Ah, how nice it would have been if we had got our message through, and we could have got the message of kalima shahadat and the message of kalima tawheed to him, and he could have left this world with the wealth of iman and Islam. But it is our failing, it is our weakness, it is our shortcoming, it is our deficiency that we did not reach out to these people and we were not able to give them the message of the shahada. Otherwise, they could have been with us in Jannah. They could have been with us forever in the gardens of peace. I conclude wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.